Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution happening worldwide. Manifesting a paradigm of egalitarianism, sustainability, peace, freedom, liberation, wellness, and health. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Scott Bourgeois. He is a vegan activist and he's a sailor. Scott and his wife, Kimberly, have been living on a sailboat for the last 17 years. And Scott is originally from Wisconsin, and he's joining us via Skype from Florida. And next week, his wife, Kimberly's going to be joining us on Vegan Nation. So thank you very much, Scott, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Marlene.
Well, I'm thrilled about this, and I'm so excited to hear about your life and how you transitioned from non-vegan sailors into vegan sailors throughout the Caribbean and elsewhere. So, Scott, let's start out with hearing a little bit about yourself.
We actually started out in 2005. We sold our house and quit our jobs and sold most of our personal belongings, sold our cars and everything, and bought our boat and moved aboard. And then we traveled for about 10 years straight, mostly through the Caribbean and up and down the East Coast of America. After about 10 years, then we kind of missed things on shore, and we had an opportunity to buy a car. And so we took a road trip for about half a year, and we weren't really sure what to do with our life after that, so we ended up back on the boat. After camping out in our car for about half a year, we really missed our luxurious, spacious 38-foot sailboat. And so we decided that we were going to spruce it up a little bit and add some comforts. And we wanted to put a lot of artwork into the boat, things we'd thought about for a long time. And so we ended up stationary at a pier for a long time. And while we were sitting at this pier working on our boat, we weren't exercising a whole lot. And we weren't swimming or walking to get things because we had a car. Our decade of debauchery kind of caught up with us. And so we were starting to notice some bad health effects. Kim came up with this idea of adopting a whole foods plant-based diet because of some things she was dealing with. And since she does all the cooking, I just kind of went along for the ride. You know, after we examined how it affected our health, really, actually, it happened pretty quick. After we watched What the Health and Forks Over Knives, and then right after that watched Cowspiracy, and then finally watched one of Earthling Ed's videos. It was called Land of Hope and Glory, and then a whole bunch of them, you know, Earthlings and whatnot. We almost immediately felt like we have to do something about this, and it changed our lives in all kinds of ways. And so that's been our drive now for about the last going on 6 years, I guess. You know, we still live on the sailboat, and we still have ambitions to travel some more on the sailboat, especially right now. But we'd really like to carry this vegan message with us wherever we go.
And where have you traveled in your sailboat?
So for the first 10 years of our life aboard, we started out by heading south. We went through the Bahamas and all the way out to the Eastern Caribbean, hopped through all the islands there. And then when we got down to Grenada, we had heard lots of stories about Venezuela, and it sounded really exciting. So we ended up spending a year traveling all around the coast of Venezuela and to a bunch of offshore islands there. And then from there, it was just kind of natural to head downwind with the trade winds to the ABC Islands. We spent a bunch of time in Bonaire and Curacao, and then went around the corner to Colombia and Panama, and we ended up spending 2 years between Colombia and Panama, just kind of going back and forth in between Cartagena and San Blas in Panama, which we talk a lot about in our interview with Vegan Linked, with some pictures also, if anybody's interested. But it was a fantastic place, and at that point it was interesting because we had been out for about 5 years or so, and we started to think, well, maybe we couldn't get back into society if we didn't head back to America. And so we started heading north, But on the way, we stopped in the Bay Islands of Honduras and also went to Guatemala. And it was so cool there that we ended up spending another year between those two places. And so then it was 2011 that we came back into the country and checked into Florida. And when we got to America in 2011, it was really amazing because we had left before the advent of all these smartphones and cameras everywhere. And things had really changed, and we were kind of in shock. And where we thought, our plan was to just come back and get some sort of corporate job again. But we hadn't thought about it a whole lot. And so when we got here, we were a little bit freaked out, actually. And so we decided to just sail around for a little bit more. And so our first big move was we sailed up the East Coast, and we actually went to the 10th anniversary, September 11th, in New York City. And that was very formative to us. Anyways, we made lots of friends on the East Coast and up in New York. And so we did that three more times, and then we spent one summer in Maine also.
Beautiful. Wow, that's fascinating. When you started out, I understand that both of you were not yet vegan, and now you're vegan sailors. Let's hear a little bit about how vegan sailors can successfully thrive.
When we first started this, really, we were sitting in a pier in normal society, and we weren't camping out on a reef or anything. And so we just started adopting a new way to eat and live. And it wasn't until a while in that we thought, well, when we're traveling, how is this going to work? Because we had all these preconceived ideas about how we would survive and whatnot. And the more questions we asked ourselves, the more we realized it's really simple. And actually, you know, all along we could have just lived this way without any difficulties at all, because we provision the boat by loading lots of food in the boat when we leave like a big city or a populated area. It's really just as simple to just stock up with plant-based versions. If we wanted yogurt, that's something you can actually make on a sailboat, just the same as you would make regular yogurt made out of cow's breast milk. You know, we stock up with beans and grains, sprouts, seeds that we can sprout for greens. Cabbage is something that is really easy to carry along and preserve. You can make sauerkraut from that. Also, any kind of roots like potatoes or yuca or sweet potatoes, those are easy to carry and store. In doing so, then when we get to a beautiful reef, we don't have to feel like we have to kill an animal to sustain ourselves.
Thank you, Scott. So, Scott, can you tell us a little bit about your new website?
Yes, our new website is called Changing the Tide. And that website, the name, of course, comes from our sailing background. But that website is purely going to be, and is, activism on the street, mostly with Anonymous for the Voiceless, conversations that we're recording of us doing street activism. And just having these difficult conversations with people that show up at Anonymous for the Voiceless events, which for anyone who is unaware of how these things go, we basically have a thing called a cube of truth, where we have several people standing in a square with masks on, to not to conceal their identity so much as to just like make them like an artwork that draws people in. So these people have TV screens then, that 32-inch TV screens that they play footage of all of the standard practices of animal agriculture, which is mostly footage from the movie Dominion. But we have these short clips playing, and we play this in crowded areas in the public. And when people who walk along see it, and if it grabs their heart, they want to have a conversation about it, then we pursue these conversations and enlighten them on the details. And anyways, that's what our new website is about. And then we also have an older website that Kim has spent a lot of time revamping. And that site started out with our travels. And our idea then was we wanted to inspire people to just like think of their world in a new way. Really what we were geared towards then was trying to inspire people to help them find ways of living more free and sovereign lives. And of course, this was before veganism came to us. We've kind of evolved to that next step, and that's a discovery that we made. And so that's the big discovery we'd like to share. That website is called sailingtranquilitybay.com.
Beautiful. Thank you, Scott. And now I'd like to shift our conversation to liberation for all. So we know that veganism is not just liberation for non-human animals, but also liberation for human animals. And we see what's happening worldwide, that more and more rights are being taken away for human people, and that in the philosophy of deep veganism, that is inevitable, because as humanity has for thousands and thousands of years, oppressed and enslaved and exploited and harmed our non-human brothers and sisters, both in the pharmaceutical laboratories and in animal agriculture, you know, that energy is going to eventually boomerang back, which we see happening everywhere. And so, Scott, I know that you're very, very aware, very wise, and very courageous in speaking out, especially in this age of censorship. So let's take that deep dive and have a little bit of a discussion about that. I'm going to throw this over to you. You can start it.
All right, sure thing. Yeah, it's funny because when we left on our sailboat, the big thing that was important to us was we never really spoke these words, but we really wanted to just have freedom and sovereignty. We didn't want to be slaves to our job and our lifestyle and our possessions. And so that was something that was really core to our beliefs. So then we went out in the world and learned some things. Well, looking back at it now, I never really thought so hard about it. The places that Kim and I worked at, they frequently referred to these places as cube farms. The engineering office that I worked in had just these huge networks of cubicles that everybody sat in, and I occasionally called them veal fattening pens without any thought about, you know, what that might mean, really. You know, in hindsight now, it's easy to see how many different ways humans are isolated, enslaved, tagged, tracked, exploited, and abused, just like animals. And so, you know, we're just seeing right now what we're seeing, I believe, in the reality around us is things are just proceeding in the same fashion to a further extent. You know, first, they put these networks of cameras out everywhere and told us that, oh, this is just to mind traffic signals or help the flow of traffic. But, of course, you know, now they track us in real time. And the same thing with our cell phones. You know, they say, oh, this data we use is just to help you with your life. But in actuality, you know, they control us in a lot of ways with this data. And, you know, herd us and exploit us just like a rancher would herd and exploit cattle. And so what's happening now is things are really being taken to extremes. You know, a couple of years ago, we were told that we had to hide in our houses in isolation for our own safety. And so it really shook things up. But, you know, another thing that it did was a lot of us ended up being in isolation. We sat in our houses, and we didn't have any contact with a lot of friends, personal contact that we once had shortly before. And then our, you know, our only contacts that we were enjoying were contacts through social media, which, of course, have been heavily censored and controlled. You know, we're basically treated, again, just like cattle. And for that matter, you know, they treat our health, you know, as if we're one of the herd. You know, we're told we have to take these vaccines. No, scratch that. Yeah, it's funny because looking back now and a lot of my activism, when I talk to people about health aspects of eating animals, one of the things that I like to bring up a lot was that 80% of the antibiotics that are produced are injected into animals in the animal agriculture industry. And so it's not too much of a stretch to look at what's happening to humans and see that we're just being treated as another herd animal here.
Like, a lot of people don't realize how much injections are happening to the chicks and the piglets and the calves in the industry.
Yeah.
And, of course, pharmaceutical industry on the lab animals and the lab animal breeding facilities. So now, yeah.
Yeah, and now...
You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. We're joined by Scott Bourgeois. Scott and his wife, Kimberly, the bourgeoisie refugees, have been living on a sailboat for the past 17 years and continue to do so. And they are vegan activists. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station or its management.
Hi, folks, this is JJ. Are you tired of the same old pasteurized, homogenized, processed noise that is commercial radio? Well, if you are, please join me every Tuesday evening at 5 as I host The Drive on WCUW 91.3 FM and worldwide on WCUW.org. You'll hear 2 hours of actual music from people with actual talent.
This is WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at wcw.org. Este es WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, radio comunitaria sirviendo a centro Massachusetts vía internet a wcw.org.
We'll take a short break and then we'll continue our conversation with Scott Bourgeois. Please join us on Vegan Nation right here on WCUW 91.3 FM every Tuesday, 4 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Vegan Nation features local, national, and international news, events, interviews, and music on the vegan lifestyle. Listen worldwide at WCUW.org. Worcester Community Radio, serving central Massachusetts and the globe. Thanks for tuning in. More vegan activists are taking stands to stop the violence and to end the slavery and the injustice and the suffering that's happening in the pharmaceutical industries and the lab animal breeding facilities, which, of course, is all hidden from the public, just like animal ag. And speaking of that, too, there's an organization called Meet the Victims that's an international organization. And the Canadian activists on the west coast of Canada did undercover footage at a piggery. I think there was 200 activists who attended. If I'm getting it right, 50 or so entered the building. To my understanding, Meet the Victims never uses any break and enter. They always just go through open doors. Anyway, 3 of the activists have been charged, and I think it's, yesterday might have been their legal proceedings. And so these activists are facing... you know, years and years in prison for compassion and just wanting to show people the truth of what's going on in these farms. Anyway, for those who want to learn more about that, you can visit Unchained TV on June 25th, 2022. Jane Velez Mitchell interviewed the 3 activists and their lawyer. And then also I listened to an interview with another vegan radio show up in Canada on the western coast, Animal Voices Vancouver. That vegan host, she had interviewed the activists and actually went and was on site with a recorder, was speaking of some of the things that were happening. I think that was November 2019 from there. And I do want to mention, too, that there is another vegan radio show up in Canada on the east coast, and that's Always for Animal Rights with host Carolyn Harris. So she also has a radio show that's on a collegiate community radio station. And so she's on the East Coast in Ottawa. And so the one I'm talking about right now, who interviewed the Meet the Victim activists who are currently on trial, is on the West Coast, Animal Voices Vancouver. So anyway, getting back to liberation and freedom, what seems to be happening is more and more the consciousness of freedom for all, humans and non-humans, is rising. And so I think it's really important for people to hear about this. And of course, so this is why it's so great to have community radio, because mainstream news outlets, being pretty much owned by the pharmaceutical industry and of course Animal Ag, their partner, we don't get to hear these things. Let's bring that back to what's happening in the world with the oppression of humans. So it's covering everybody. Can you talk more about that, like maybe who's behind this agenda and what's happening, Scott?
Yeah, you know, that's a great thing to bring up, and I'm so glad these people are bringing these issues with the test beagles to the forefront of the conversation, because it's almost like this is like some new terrain that we're really being asked to branch out on. You know, we're always talking about our diet and leather shoes and leather jackets and couches and whatnot, but the pharmaceutical industry, of course, you know, does a lot of wicked things to animals, and this is certainly a vegan conversation that everybody in the vegan community needs to be having, regardless of our feelings of, you know, where we fit in with this. And, you know, of course, some people feel more concerned about their safety than others, but we really need to get over that and just come together on this, that this is really a question of freedom and sovereignty for all. No one should be forced to be a part of this, and we certainly shouldn't be ridiculed to question, you know, what this is about. When like the beagles are just one example, rhesus monkeys are another example. They can't breed enough rhesus monkeys to test for all these new drugs they're coming up with, and then there's just a whole plethora of other animals that are being abused in the manufacture and testing process, like horseshoe crabs going extinct, sharks being used for some sort of oil in the sharks. You know, we could go on and on with all the different animals being abused. So, yeah, I think it really is a good idea to ask who's behind this and, you know, what the reason this is happening is. And it isn't too far-fetched for us to consider that just like capitalism has driven us through the ages to exploit and abuse others for profit, that there aren't people who would do the same thing for nefarious reasons with pharmaceutical products on humans. So really these conversations shouldn't be off bounds with us. You know, when we look at what's happening, this is just the same thing, the same way our behaviors are rebounding back on us as what happens when we abuse animals to, say, make a hamburger out of an animal's flesh, when we abuse animals to use them for profit in any way. We have to ask ourselves, and it shouldn't be off grounds for us to discuss information that's right out in the open and information that points to the people who are involved with this. For example, right now the World Health Organization is trying to declare monkeypox as a public health emergency of international concern. And so, you know, perhaps it wouldn't be a bad idea for us to make ourselves more open as vegans to have these conversations about what is happening and about who's behind these things and about where this is leading us as a society.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you very much. Yeah, very, very important. and a integral part of the vegan movement to question and to investigate what's going on.
Thank you for going there. This is a difficult subject for a lot of people to deal with. And I know I've lost a lot of friends just for breaching the topic. I've been canceled. And I know a lot of my friends have, too. And this is something we really need to get over and come together as a community again and refocus, I think, on what our goal is here. And our goal, I believe, is freedom and sovereignty for all. And so we certainly shouldn't discriminate, especially amongst our friends, and discriminate and segregate them and, you know, become involved in these same sort of sick behaviors that they push on us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're coming to a close in the interview for today, Scott. Do you have any additional messages for our listeners?
For anybody out there who's interested in hearing more about our thoughts on veganism and how it affects our freedom and sovereignty, please head over to sailingtranquilitybay.com. and subscribe there with your email. And there's another important thing that we're trying to do, really. I almost forgot the whole reason that we created this new activism channel and that we brought our sailing website back to life is because we would really like to bring this conversation, the vegan conversation, to the sailing community and to all the people who fantasize about leaving on a sailboat and living a life of freedom and sovereignty. And we'd like to introduce that topic carefully to this sailing fantasy community, and we'd also like to bring the vegan voice in there. So we're hoping to have our followers from Changing the Tide come over to Sailing Tranquility Bay and join that conversation when we get some new video material up there and also some new articles. So stop on by and check it out, and go vegan.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Scott Bourgeois. And thank you, Kimberly. And Kimberly, if I could just connect with you for a moment here during Scott's interview. I know I'm really excited that you'll be joining us next week for a full interview, but I'd like you to have a chance to say hi.
Hi, Marlene. Thank you so much. I'm really, really looking forward to our interview next week.
We have been joined by Scott Bourgeois of Bourgeois Refugees. Scott and his wife, Kimberly, have been living on a sailboat for the past 17 years, and they are vegans, and they are now vegan activists. And Kimberly will be joining us again next week, where we'll be hearing more about the fruits and vegetables that they've come across in their travels throughout the Caribbean and along the coast in South America, as well as cooking vegan on a sailboat and being vegan on a sailboat, and how giving great tips, and she's an amazing cook, amazing. So we'll really have lots of information about that, as well as more details about their activism, AV, Anonymous for the Voiceless, on the streets where they port. So thanks again, Scott, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thanks so much for having us, Marlene, and thanks for all you do. We really appreciate you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this station nor its management. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene wishing you a good day. Earlier in the program, we heard the Chicken Song by Will Tuttle, and this is Alive.